Wednesday the 18th of February, Kof Dalad Shvat, Rabbi Moshe Lazarus, A Practical Shir in Ahavas Hashem.
Good morning. The Gemara in Sota relates to us something about the Kvura of Yaakov Avinu. It tells us a story that when Yaakov Avinu was being taken by Yosef and the brothers to be buried, they were challenged by Esav. Esav came and he said, "You can't bury him in the Maaret Machpelah, that's my inheritance." He said to him, "You sold your birthright." He said, "Maybe I sold my birthright, but I didn't sell the rights to the Kvura. That's something else." The Gemara says, they said, "But it was written in Shtar. You wrote a document. It wasn't just the sale. You wrote a document that you're selling there, and that was included." He said, "Prove it. Where's the Shtar?" So we left it back in Mitzrayim. The sent Naphtali, was a swift runner, sent Naphtali back to Mitzrayim to get the Shtar. Lamdonim. The brothers are arguing with halacha. That's the din. You have a taina, you bring a raya. You have to have motzi mechaveru of a raya. And while he was running away, one of the grandsons of Yaakov Avinu, Hushin ben Dan, who was, the Gemara says, he was very hard of hearing. He was probably partially deaf. He didn't know what was happening. He asked somebody, "What's going on?" So they explained to him what's happening. She said, "What?" He said, "Avi, my father's father, my grandfather, his body is going to lie in Bizayon while they go back and get a shtar that everybody knows, the Esav knows also that he sold it." So he took a big stick, Rashi says it was a rakel, he took a stick, and he banged him on the head. And Rashi says, he hit him so hard, his eyes popped out, they fell onto Yaakov's body, and there was a smile on Yaakov's face. That is the story. Very strange. Agarato. What are Chazal telling us by this story? Why did Rav Ashi put this into the Gemara? There is an expression in English that is, sometimes you can't see the forest because of the trees. When you look too carefully, sometimes we get so involved in the details of life that we don't see the greater picture. We don't see what's happening. We're just looking at the little things, and we don't understand the most important things. Hushin ben Dan, he didn't get involved in the small things because he didn't know. But he saw the picture. He said, "What? Look what's happening." And he killed Esav. We too have to worry about these things, these basic things that we sometimes overlook. Sometimes we don't really think about the most elementary things. You know, but that's Chumash. We start learning Chumash from Cheder. So we learn Chumash, and sometimes we learn Rashi, but we learn it very often with a 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old mentality. And then we progress in our learning. We start learning Mishnayos, and we go on to Gemara, and some learn Gemara Be'iyun with the Mefarshim, and that's what you do the rest of your life. And unless you come back to Chumash, then you will learn Chumash properly, then you'll know Chumash with a 6-year-old mentality. It's not the way you learned it. You'll remember it the same way. You'll understand the Midrashim the same way, or the seemingly fantastic Midrashim, without the maturity of a person who's experienced life and has learned a lot, and he won't understand it as well. And it could be that when he's not a seder, he goes over the seder every week, but usually people do that just to be yotze. It's one of the most difficult mitzvahs. I personally find that is a very, very difficult mitzvah. It's hard to find the time to do that, a busy schedule. Similarly, we have other mitzvahs that are so basic to Yiddishkeit that we don't give it the proper time. We don't review it. We have to review it all the time. Now this morning we davened. We said, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzvachos, Melanchol, Oretz, Koda. Said that Hashem is holy. And actually what we're saying is that we are emulating the Malachim. Said for Yeshayahu, brings the Pasuk down. We're emulating these Malachim that understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they see He's Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Melanchol, Oretz, Koda. The earth is filled. Earth means this planet. Earth is filled with His glory. Shemaim is also, but that's not what the Pasuk says. That means that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in this room right now with us. Now, suppose somebody extremely important walked in here. Someone who we consider important, even if we didn't consider him so important, the prince walked in here, but Havdil, let's say when the Gedolei Hador came in here, and he was just standing by the door, and I asked him for a shoes if he would say the shir, he said, no, you continue, and he's standing there. We all have a consciousness that he's there. It's like, even if your back is to us, you can't see him, but you know he's there. That's what we're supposed to feel all the time about the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Sefer Chinuch says it's a mitzvah called the mitzvah tamidi. There are six mitzvahs that you have to do all the time. Because you can't think about them consciously all the time, but you have an awareness. We're supposed to have an awareness of Hashem. Similarly, we also do something. We say Shema every day. We say it at least twice a day. Some people say it four times a day. We should say it four times a day. Including the Shema that's four Korbanos, and the Shema that we say, Shema Lamita, Shema Lamita. And in the second Pasuk, we say, V'ahavta Eis Hashem Elokecha. That's my subject. That you have to love Hashem. So, the first thing that we have to understand is this considered a mitzvah to love Hashem, or is it a good way to serve Him? And do the other mitzvahs, you should do it with Ahava, with love. What is this? Is it Rishus? Is it something permitted? Or is it a Chiyuv? Is it an obligation? All the Moni mitzvahs, all the ones who count the mitzvahs, the Rambam, the Smad, Ramban, they all consider Avas Hashem as one of the Tayag mitzvahs. Bahag. All consider it one of the Tayag mitzvahs. That means we're obligated. Basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. He's holding a gun to us and he's saying, you have to love me. Otherwise, if you don't, you're going to be over a mitzvah sasei. It's like wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzis on it. You're not doing a mitzvah sasei. You didn't need a kzayis of matzah on Pesach. It's a mitzvah sasei. Only this mitzvah is a constant mitzvah. It's something we have to do every moment. And it's a difficult mitzvah. It's difficult because we have to try and understand what love is. What do we mean by love? You have to love Hashem. How does one fulfill the mitzvah? If I may, throw out this question to... to you, Rabbi Sai, how is someone becoming this mitzvah? First, let's define what we mean by love. What's love? If you don't know what love is, then you can't do this mitzvah. Every lamda knows that the basic idea in lamdas is to define something down to its basic part, its basic element from which we would know what it is. This thing, we'd know what it is. In physics, they call it a quantum. What's the quantum of love? Okay? You have an idea? How would you define love? If you're shy, I'll answer the question. The first thing you have to understand is that love is an emotion. It's not something you do. It's not what you do when you love somebody. First thing is that it's an emotion. You have to feel something. You know, the Rambam describes the ultimate in love, the last parak of Hilchos Teshuvah, and he describes it in a very, very deep emotional way. This is the love for Ra'uya, he says, that people should have when they serve Hashem, which is all the time. So what do we do? You know, every morning, here I am, I'm saying, Yahav Teis Hashem Elokecha. What am I thinking? Am I thinking anything? Am I thinking about what I'm saying? If I just translate the words, I'm saying, Hashem is saying to me, Yahav Teis Hashem Elokecha, you will love Hashem. Okay? Gentlemen, I know this is what you'll find is hard to believe, but I am a frog. I'm really not a person. I just imitate a person. And if you don't believe me, I just want you to know, under here, I have a belt with explosives on it. And unless you agree that I'm a frog, I'm going to blow us all up. I'm crazy. Now, what are you going to do? Do you believe that I'm a frog? Of course you do. Of course you believe in the frog. Anyone in his right mind would say, no, I don't believe you, is really not in his right mind. You say it, right? We say it because we know that's what we're supposed to do. You know, in this case, we have to save our lives. But you're thinking, mister, you must be out of your mind. If you think you're a frog, I'll humor you. But you're no frog. You know, I know what a frog looks like. Do we know what Hashem looks like? How do we love Hashem? How do we know? It's like Hashem's holding it down to our head. Okay, I want you to love me. You can't make someone love you by, you know, by just commanding him. How do you command someone to have the emotion of love? Just because you say love me, that means that you have to love somebody? You have to love your fellow man. There's some people that really, really put in a tremendous effort to make themselves as unlovable as possible. I mean, say that as nice terms. They're just, you know, the people are so despicable that you must find some kind of heter. There's no way that Hashem would want me to love this person. And yet, we have a mitzvah. What can we do? The mitzvah is, in order to love someone, so Rav Dessler says there is one way that you can do it is by sometimes when you do something for people, like children. Why do we love our children, he says? Because we give them so much. When you do things to people, it fosters a certain emotion in your heart. You love them because they're yours. Before I left for London, so I live in Eretz Yisrael, and I saw one of my grandchildren, and he's a big boy, he's 17, and he wished me a Nesiyat Tovah. And I said to him, Elio, you know why I love you? He's been trained already. He's 17 and a half, so he knows the answer. He said, yes, Eddie, because I'm yours.
What?
I'm yours.
Yeah.
I'm yours. Not because you're good. Not because you're... He is. It's all those things. But he's mine. We love Hashem because he's ours. Hashem, he chose us, and we have to know something about him, because you can't love anything or anyone unless you know something about them, and therefore you have to know something about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have to know something about his Midos. The Sefer perhaps deals with one of the ways to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he does have, he has told for us, is the Cholos Halvavos. And Shara Bechino, the Cholos Halvavos, describes all the miracles, all the things. If you examine the world, you see what things HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for you, then you will appreciate what he does. just the human body alone, just how we function. If one would just look at how, from a biological standpoint, how the human eye works or the human ear works. I'm not a doctor, I can't explain that. But it's such an incredible thing. Light comes in through a little hole right here in our eye. It strikes a lens first, and then behind it, there's something called the retina. The light registers on the retina. Behind it is an optic nerve. The retina takes this light energy, and the optic nerve turns it into electrical impulses. The electrical impulses shoot through the nervous system to the brain at the speed of light, approximately. And lo and behold, there's something registered in our brain. It's electrical activity. And then our minds, which is not our brain, Torah explains, the Kabbalah explains, that our mind is something called the Nefesh Bahamis. That's the seat of our intellect and our emotion. It's physical, and it's passed down in the genetic material from father, from parents to children. And what happens is it recreates a picture. So you don't really see with your eyes. What you're doing is it turns into an electrical impulse. We don't realize how complicated this is. It works the same way as a phone. What happens when you speak in a phone? When you speak in a phone, you're not hearing the person scream from across the ocean. You speak in the phone. Inside the phone, there's a unit that takes this sound waves, and turns it into electrical impulses. It's either transmitted electronically or electrically through wires, through, again, tremendous speeds, to a receiver. And the receiver also has something in it, and the receiver is like a piano, and it has certain frequencies that make certain sounds. And it comes out that you think that you hear the person actually speaking, but really it's a recreation of a voice. That's how ears work. That's how our bodies work. The chokhmah, the tremendous chokhmah of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he does this for us. And a person realizes if he has the blessing that he can see, so then he has to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he has health, he has to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he has. If he doesn't have health, he has to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the other things that he has. We have to look at it in a positive way, because the key to Ahava is to focus on the positive. If you want to love somebody, so then you have to know something good about them. In my yeshiva, I have a list of 100 positive traits. And usually when the Bachim comes in to talk to me, no matter what the subject is, I'll invariably ask him, tell me 5 good things about yourself. Most people cannot do that. They come up with 1-2 things, and then they start, they can't think of words. They can't think of the adjectives to describe themselves. They know they're good people, or something. They believe deep down inside, but they don't have a consciousness of it. So then I take this piece of paper, and I have him write his name on it, and I have him check off all the things that applies to him. Usually he'll check off 30 or 40 things at least. If he checks off everything on there, then he doesn't know himself either. But you have delusions of grandeur. But and then I take the paper and I read, and I say, I want to describe somebody to you. I think he would be someone in yeshiva. I think he'd be a real good friend for you. And I read them out of order. Usually the smarter, intelligent guys understand what I'm doing sooner or later, as I'm reading them off. And I say, he's sincere, he wants to do good, he's caring, he's helpful, he's intelligent. And as I'm reading it, I say, would you like to meet somebody like this? And usually they say, yeah. He says, let me introduce you to yourself. Let me introduce you to yourself. The Rambam says in Hilchos Deos that we are creatures of habit. We're creatures of habit. And in today's world, the media, all the things that we're exposed to, has habituated us to think in negative terms, critical about ourselves and critical about the world. And therefore we focus on the negative. And it's so hard for us, even for adults, to say five good things. I do this, by the way, when I do as a Rav, and I do marriage counseling. So I will have a couple there, and I will ask the couple to say, write down five good things about yourself, and then write five good things about your spouse, then write five bad things about yourself, and five things that you don't like about your spouse. And then I give them another piece of paper and say, write what you think your spouse write on all these things. Well, what do you think he wrote? So one thing I can tell is the communication. I can tell they're talking to each other, hear each other, you know, if they really do some things that are similar. But I find very often when they have a good marriage, only there's a problem, you know, they want to get divorced. Why? Because they shout at each other. Why? Because she calls him names. She calls him a slob. Why is she calling him a slob? Because he doesn't put his socks in the hamper when he takes them off. She doesn't like that. She's asked him, he won't do it. So she insults him, he yells back, now they want to get divorced. I said, you want to get divorced because of a pair of socks? You know, when it's put in that light, so it becomes, so I said, tell me things you like about him. Tell me things that you like about her. Very often they walk out realizing that they really love each other and that this is it was ridiculous in the first place. Now, we have an obligation to love Hashem. So there are two ways we can love Hashem. One way is we could see what Hashem does for us. If we just appreciate what Hashem does for us, anyone who has eyesight, anyone who can hear, if you can walk, if you have a coat in the wintertime, you have shoes to put on your feet, if you can't see well without eyeglasses or contact lenses, and you have those things. If you're fortunate enough to have a good marriage, if you have children that you have nachas from, then we get into the really astronomical things, the great things. You know, if you have eniklach, those are the dividends. You have to thank Hashem for that. He's given you all these things. In order to do that, you have to take 5 minutes, just 5 minutes a day, when no one's around, and you have to speak in a voice so that you hear. It has to be audible. In the Musa Sfarim, they call this Hisbodidus. You go by yourself. You don't have to go out to the forest and shout, you know? You don't have to say, Nachman, you don't have to do that. Just go into a room where there's nobody there for 5 minutes. Not more than 5 minutes. It's very powerful stuff. I just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to tell you how I appreciate my eyesight. If somebody doesn't appreciate their eyesight, I recommend trying to spend just 1 hour a day, a busy hour like in the morning, with your eyes closed. See how much you depend on your eyesight. I once tried it myself in yeshiva. It was in the evening, it was night Seder after I gave a Musa Shmuz. So I went to, you know, it was show and tell. And I closed my eyes and I tried to make it to the cheder ochel, the lunchroom where we eat, with my eyes closed. And I found I was trying to get some porridge. I put my hand in the porridge. I couldn't see. Just to get there, I was walking so slowly and carefully. It gave me so much appreciation of what I have. Everyone knows that when a person's not well, he appreciates his health. That's when he appreciates his health. But we shouldn't have to wait for that. If we can do it now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to thank you for my eyesight. So, we thank Hashem for our eyesight, and we try to imagine, what do you think Hashem would say to you if you said that to him? Because imagination is a valid tool in Avodas Hashem. That's what he gave us in his Nefesh Bahamas, our minds. What do you think he would say? He's here. You're finally saying, and you mean it. Now you're thinking about it, and it's not a ritual davening, it's the real davening. And you say, Hashem, I want to thank you for this. So, you can answer all kinds of different ways. Depends on who you are. And that will be your personal relationship with Hashem. Everyone has to develop a personal relationship with Hashem. The Pele Yoetz says there are two ways to have Ahavas Hashem. One way is called Avas Atzmo. That's what I just described. I love myself. I'm glad that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me all these things, and therefore, because I appreciate that, and I like myself, and I'm glad that I have it, so I'm thanking Him for it. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. Halavai, we should reach that madrega. He says, but there's another thing that everyone can also reach, and that's called Avas Aromulus. That is loving Hashem for who He is. And in order to do that, you have to know something about Him. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His aspect of Ein Sof, the infinite Hashem, there is no way to know, and we can't know Him. We don't know who He is. However, in an aspect of what he's called the Borei, the Creator, that's where we have a relationship with Him. He's the Creator, we're the Creator. And in that relationship, He tells us He has attributes. He has midos. The Torah says, Hashem is Kel, Rachum, V'chanun. He's merciful. He's Ohev. Avo Rabo Haftonu, Avas Olam. Hashem loved us. What we say in davening, Hashem loves us. He has love. He's awesome. He's powerful. He's smart. He's humble. He has all this. If we think about these things, about you start getting a picture of who you're davening to when you say Atah, Baruch Atah Hashem. We go through these tefillahs our entire lives. We daven, we're good Jews, we got up, we go to Shemini, and we read for the Siddur, and if anyone pays attention to what he's doing, if he doesn't understand the words and he doesn't have a relationship with Hashem, it's a painful experience. But he'll endure it. That's what he has to do. That's what a good Jew does. But I can assure you, I can promise you even, that if you can make this relationship with Hashem, then when your tefillah, when you daven, your tefillah will be, you're talking to Hashem, you know He's listening, He's in this room, He's listening to what I'm saying right now. I hope He has nachas ruach from it. It's the reason I came to speak today, because I want to give nachas ruach. I think that if I could tell people, you know, just if one person besides myself learned something from the shir today, so then it was worth coming. Because that means that someone else will understand and occasionally have a feeling for love. To have it all the time is very, very hard. Like consciousness, you have to really work at it. But even sometimes, just to have that gishmak of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because He loves us. We say that. We mean it. He loves us. He loves us with a love that's incredible. And Be'ez Hashem Yisrach, we will be mekayim that mitzvah, and we will be able to love Him as well.